Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. You know, you can only call us live at 323-203-0815 on Thursday, but you can listen to us in our archives anytime. And LA Talk Radio plays us from time to time on both channels. So call in, get your questions answered with the amazing Dr. Pat Allen by hopping into the hot seat. Speaking of Dr. Pat Allen, hey, you're live on the air, Dr. Pat.
Good. I want to go to work.
You do? Well, we're going to put you to work. And I'm going to check in with Sam right now and see if we have callers. Tell me, in the meantime, how are you?
I'm just fine. Passed all my physicals, and I'm just fine.
I love it. Hey, we got a caller live on Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And well, if you were in your feminine, I'd ask you how you're feeling. So I had a Zoom date last night with a woman who, I mean, she definitely had her masculine side, and she had difficulty because I usually throw out there two of your favorite questions, are you a career woman or a woman with a career? She had a tough time with that. And what was the other one?
Do you want to be cherished or do you want to be respected first?
I don't know if I asked. I don't know if I asked her that one, although that one could certainly come up. But I told her, I mean, what's a good comeback for that? Because I think I was able to say something, you know, because she was pretty much asking, well, why do you want to know that? And I said, well, I think I'll learn more about you from what, you know, your actual experiences that didn't come together very, you know, well, or things or basic ideas that you don't want without having to hear about all kinds of relationships, as opposed to, you know, like this wish list where who knows where that could come from. And I guess a wish list / shopping list.
Good. So did she comfort down with that?
She really wanted to ask what I don't want, what she wanted. And so she acknowledged it without really answering it. And, she really didn't answer, either one. So it was, I didn't ask her the respect or cherish just the woman with a career or a career woman. And she also had a tough time differentiating that, the idea of, I wasn't really sure. How do I ask that and emphasize, like, the career part is very easy to put your finger on, but what's a good way to bring that up with a woman to say, hey, I'm interested in your, you know, womanness, like how that's important to you. Cause she really wasn't willing to take sides on either that, on that either. And I was wondering what's a good way to help pull out her womanhood in a initial conversation like that.
Well, is she the one we're basically dating, or is she new?
Well, she's new. No. The one that I like the most that I've been dating. She's very busy. You know, she's very busy. I've been out with her 4 times. I did ask her out this weekend, but she has some family stuff going on. Then I'm going away the next weekend. I'm not done with her, but But okay. I'm still
That's
a little discouraged that I haven't seen her for a while. Okay. No, this is somebody
new. My work, here, I want to say something to you. My work is not that aware. A lot of people don't know what I teach, even though it's ancient. And you've come to know that. I strongly suggest that you interview her as your friendship blooms.
When
when you feel safe enough to get into relationship issues, that's when you can ask.
Oh, okay. So are you saying those for our first conversation, those questions could have come maybe coming a little too early, especially for somebody who's more
doesn't
in touch with
know.
Their master.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. So in the beginning, you were more hesitant, and now you're getting more courageous.
Yeah, I am. And, you know, since I met her on the Zoom speed dating, you know, you kind of already get into a little relationship topics there. But
okay.
She was very interested in going on and on about her stuff, which I suppose is okay to a certain extent, but it, I don't know
what
how well it'll
stuff?
Fit with my stuff. Some of her career stuff. I don't know how well it fits up with, you know, what I hold. I don't know how much I respect it.
I got it. Well,
so
then,
it's still early on.
So what it sounds like is that what it sounds like, I need to have a drink of water.
Yes, I've got mine here. So I'm wondering, you know, what do you think are a few good? Okay, if I'm not going to get into the your favorite questions, the woman with a career or vice versa, the respect and cherish. What do you think are some of a good Pat Allen questions to start off with outside of the basic things that everybody asks, you know, before you get into that stuff?
Where did you meet her? Was she on a dating service?
Yeah, it was one of those Zoom things that I've told you about, like that, you know, speed dating.
But it's somebody that's looking for dates.
Yes. That's the assumption.
Then ask her if she's wanting serious relationship or just dating.
Right, that's good. I don't think I asked that too much.
No, but that's the one you're looking for.
Yeah, I usually assume that it's relationships if they're showing up for that. But a number of them do come in where it doesn't seem like they dated for quite a while for whatever reason and seem hesitant to get out there. So that's where I keep in mind what you say, which is doing your best to keep it as friends first.
Well, in this particular situation, you're asking questions that the audience doesn't know the answers to.
I certainly don't know until I ask at least that specific person. But yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what I've seem to notice. So she's a bit of a difference and distance. It probably would be about an hour driving for each of us to actually meet. But we did. I did do the Pat Allen. I want to talk to you again? Are you comfortable with that? And she seemed receptive, even though she did have her bristling moments. So I think we'll at least talk one more time. And I suppose I would be willing to meet somewhere halfway and see what that's like. From what I see, she certainly looks attractive. She looks attractive.
Okay. Getting to know,
running into a lot of avoidance and a lot of unavailability in general.
Where is she exhibiting unavailability?
Oh, no, she hasn't. I'm saying that's what I've been running into consistently up until now. No, she hasn't shown that. She may down the line, but not so far.
And other women are avoiding your questions?
More like not available for, consistently seeing them or at least having more on their plate or them going through their own challenges and in various ways. So that's what I've been hearing a lot lately. And I almost expect it to come again. Although, hey, I don't know that it's going to happen with this situation. She was very upfront about wanting a Zoom call. She didn't want to talk on the phone. And I suppose talking on Zoom is better. You get to see her. That's definitely one of her good qualities.
Unusually vulnerable to your questions.
It's like she didn't want to, it seemed like she wanted to say what's wrong with the, it was essentially what's wrong with these Pat Allen questions. Of course, I didn't mention you.
Okay.
So.
But that was her wanting to get to know you.
She definitely asked me. She definitely asked me some stuff. I would say she spent more time on talking about her things and her directions and where she's hoping to evolve to. And she's definitely had a very multifaceted career. She'd much rather talk about that. That's definitely her comfort zone, as opposed to the other stuff where she says the don't want stuff sounded very negative to her. Being asked that question.
Okay. Well, she's a different style than you've been dating.
I don't know. But yeah, what's the rationale for asking women what they don't want?
The rationale is women know more about what they don't want than what they do want. They want you to offer situations, and I support you in asking questions. You see? So.
Uh-huh. Oh, definitely.
So you're doing, what you're doing now is you're really interviewing them, and you're not quite sure whether they like it or not.
Yeah, and that's where you talk about the conquer, compete, and control their male. And with her, I definitely got that sense that it's like that was certainly a challenge because she certainly could have done a whole monologue for an hour and been done with things. But I did get some stuff in, so that's why it definitely seemed pretty masculine, at least for the first half hour of it. And then I suppose the rest of it was more sort of masculine too, about all right, not loving the Pat Allen. So are there like tools for guys to help, conquer and compete and control their male? What's some of the things that helps me in a situation like that from the Pat Allen world?
What is all I can say is, what do you want to know about her now that you're talking to her? So what do you want to know about her?
Well, let's see. I know what she does. I know what I know some stuff about what she enjoys doing. I think I know enough that I would certainly sit down and have coffee with her. If anything, I would like to know some more about her work. I don't think it's time to dig into. I don't really want to dig into the relationships stuff. That's why I was hoping to get some broad ideas of, you know, turn-ons and turn-offs, but that didn't really happen. But I suppose the biggest thing is, all right, do I have chemistry with her, which, as you say, and of course it's true that, yeah, sure, you might look good on the computer, but, you know, will I still have the chemistry, or will there be chemistry when you sit next to her? So I'm thinking one more Zoom day, one more Zoom conversation, see how that goes. But then most likely it'll be okay. Since we have a little bit of a distance from each other, that goes well.
How far apart are you?
Getting together. If we met halfway, it would take us without traffic. With traffic, oh, God, it would be terrible. But it would probably take us each an hour if we wanted to meet halfway somewhere. But certainly could be more than that in a traffic-y day.
Okay. So do you want to do that?
I think I'll know after another conversation. But I'm leaning towards yes. I mean, I don't think there's a big risk taking a, you know, I have an electric car, so it doesn't cost me too much to do some distance driving. So I'm certainly willing to do that and sit with her for an hour somewhere and see – what's there.
Well, she's just a different breed of girl than you've been bringing to me to talk, you know, with you.
And she definitely, I don't think she can say it, but she definitely sounds like more of a career woman. It's interesting. It's like, it seemed like more details than feelings. It didn't seem like there was that, you know, bounce back and forth thing that you talk about in the corpus callosum. It seemed like it was more really on the masculine side. But all right, hey, you know, first impression. Well, I'm certainly willing for another.
Good, 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 good. So, did you get your question answered?
I think I got more than one question answered. So thank you again for your time. And I hope you have a lovely weekend. And I'm glad you went to your doctor's appointment. I went to one too.
Pardon?
Oh, I had a doctor's appointment too. It sounds like you were coming back from one. So I had some things checked on myself. So good for
you. Good. And are you okay?
Yes. I'm all right. Nice to get some clarity on some things.
Very good. Okay.
All right. Thanks again, Dr. Pat.
All right. We'll talk.
Thank you, Brian. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right. The number to dial to hop into the hot seat: 323-203-0815, and you get to talk live to Dr. Pat Allen and get your questions answered.
Hello,
caller. You are live on the air with Dr. Allen. You are in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Good.
My question is, I have a man that I have had, I've known him for like 10, 15 years, and I've dated him. Well, I think I've known him for 12 years, and he's dated me. We've dated like four different times. This is the fourth time. And
are you saying it's the fourth date or the fourth series of dates?
The fourth series of dates.
And why did it not go to marriage?
Well, we keep breaking up.
For what reason?
We tend to get in arguments frequently, it seems like to me.
He wants to get into arguments on what subjects?
Well, I've been trying to figure it out. It's usually something little, and then it gets into a big argument really quickly. And then it lasts, the argument lasts.
Are you both looking for someone to cherish you?
I kind of feel like he tries to overpower me when I talk about my feelings. He wants to talk about his and kind of overpower me with his, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it does. But do you respect him? You keep going back to him. Do you respect him and resent the fact that he's competing, conquering, and controlling your male?
Well, I want him to be more like...
The fact is that you want him to be.
Right.
Are you chemically attracted to him?
Yeah, very much so. That's why we keep getting back together. And we're very compatible, like, in a lot of ways. But we have good, like, high level of chemistry.
Okay. If your dad walked in the room, this isn't a question I always ask. If your dad walked in the room, would he ask you, how did you do today? Or how did you feel about what you did?
Probably. I don't know. I don't really talk to my dad, but maybe he would say, how did you do?
Oh, really? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
For what reason do you not talk? Is he dead?
No, he's not.
You're his daughter?
Yes.
For what reason does he not talk to you?
Well, it was my decision to not talk to him.
Well, because what was the reason? Is your mother a man or a woman?
She's a man.
Okay. So what's the reason you do not have a relationship with your father?
Well, I used to think that he was inappropriate with me when I was little, but now I kind of think that maybe he wasn't, and that was just a way for me to get away from him. And I don't know what happened. I'm honestly very confused about it.
Have you ever gone to a therapist about this?
Yeah, but I don't think she helped me. I mean, I've gone to multiple therapists, so.
Did you go to EMDR?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I did.
Okay. But you have not found the trigger that has put you into a PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Okay. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do have one sister.
Is she male or female?
Female. Well, I mean, she acts kind of masculine.
Does she act like, does she like to be respected or cherished?
Probably both.
What is that?
Probably both.
So she's a narcissist?
Yeah, there's some of that there.
Do you want a book on that?
Sure.
Alexander Lowen's book, Narcissism, Betrayal of the Body.
Never
Have
heard
you
of that
ever
one.
Read it? What?
No, I haven't. I've listened to you a long time, and I've never heard you mention that one.
I've mentioned it, but only to people that have said what you said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll read it. It looks interesting.
Do that, because you may not remember what turned you off to all men.
I know. That's what I've been trying to figure out for a long time. Because I've been single for a long time.
I fully understand that.
But I'm not ugly.
Okay. That's very good. That's very good. But
I take care of myself.
What changed your mind about your father's molestation of you? Did you get that awareness in therapy?
I think it kind of came, the idea maybe from my mom, to be honest.
Okay, what did she say?
I don't know. She just seemed to, he was a little bit touchy-feely with me, but I was uncomfortable around him when I was a child, but I don't remember him doing anything extremely horrible. It was just like he would just be overly aggressive physically, like tickle me too hard or, grab my bra strap a few times, like as a teenager, just like really not nice things to have your dad do.
Well, then it did upset you.
Well, yeah.
And your mother said, don't hold him accountable.
No, she just said, what else did he do to you? And, maybe you just don't remember. And I'm like, maybe, I don't know. And then I started thinking about it, and I guess I just went to therapy thinking that would help, but I didn't really get any answers, so.
Well, how old are you?
37.
You're 37. Do you want to be married? Have kids?
Well, I have a son. He's 16. So I'm done with kids, but I just want to have a partner that cherishes me.
So you, okay. So your son's father was not a real boyfriend?
No, he was not.
Okay. How are you and your son?
We're great. I respect him. I've done as you've taught me, and he's growing up to be a great man. Like he's becoming a man.
Isn't
very proud
that
of him.
Good? That's great.
Yes.
That's great.
I
and
respect
for those
him,
of you that are listening, you know something that you hope I help you find out what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Okay,
right.
And you've done EMDR.
Right.
But it didn't come up.
I mean, kind of, but not really. It didn't seem like it was very clear. It didn't seem like it was anything that was really other than my imagination.
Did the therapist tell you that? Was the therapist
No.
a man or a woman?
A woman, but I mean, she was, I don't know if she was very good at it because I didn't feel like it was very effective for me.
Okay. Do you want to try another one?
I could. I mean, I'd be open to it. I just kind of gave up after
would you
going
be
to
willing,
her for a while.
Would you be willing to do one that was with a man?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
I work well, and most of my friends are men.
Really?
Yeah, I get along great with guys. Like, I don't know, maybe they like me.
You get along with guys?
Yeah.
As long as they're not sexual.
Yeah, and then when it's sexual, it's hard. I can't.
That's usually
run away.
That's what's, yeah. So I say, let's see what city are you in?
Well, I'm in Montana. I know you're in California.
You're what?
I'm in Montana, actually. Not in California.
Okay, but I want to give you something that will help you get a male EMDR person. Do you want that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. The office is an international EMDR office, and it's in Austin, Texas. But if you call them, they will give you the name, number of people that live near you.
Okay.
So here's the number. Good. See, somehow I managed to get inside of you, and you're looking at me again, and I'm giving you something now by asking you if you want to go to an EMDR person, but make it a man, so that right off the bat there's a blockade. And if he can get through that, like I get through yours, that's a place you probably will get it.
Okay.
Okay. I generally say the following. When you're afraid of a man, or if you're a man and you're afraid of women, you produce too much negative norepinephrine to be happy with them.
Yeah.
You have forgotten the incident that has hurt your feelings.
Right.
Do you want to read a book about it?
Sure.
Getting Past Your Past by Shapiro, the lady that created EMDR.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't read that one. And I think I've heard you mention it, but
do you think you read it?
I might have it. Yeah. I don't know if I've read it, but I think I've started reading it one time and I didn't get finished with it, but I will.
Okay.
Well,
that's a message too. What I'm saying is you have my permission to call this show and tell me what's going on until we can get you handled.
Oh, that would be great. I haven't called for a while, but, I mean, but I haven't been in a relationship for a while, so I've just been working. But
Is this phone call comforting you?
Yes, and I mean, I guess my main question of today is just my current boyfriend. I love him. I feel like he's very, let's just say, cheap. He doesn't like to spend money on me or really, he does sometimes, but he asked me to tip one time when he took me out on a date. And then he told me, he's like, oh, at last month I spent $600 on taking you out, so I can't do that anymore. And I'm like, that's fine. I mean, I'm not in charge of your finances, but, you know, so I kind of feel weird about it. So I wanted to see what you thought about it. I have heard you mention when men are stingy, like, when men aren't very giving, like that's a sign of being feminine, right?
Some men are giving, some men aren't. The problem is interviewing them to find out what style they are.
Yeah, and I don't think he is, so do I just have to accept that? That's the way he is.
Okay, then he's not compatible with you. So
I mean, is there
I'm
a way I can
give you...
Okay.
What?
Is there anything I can do to talk to him about that, or?
Well, if you'll tell him how you feel, what you're telling me.
Yes.
Are you willing to start telling the truth to men or questioning them as long as I'm alive and doing this show?
Yes.
Here's a number. You want a phone number or email? What do you want?
To call EMDR?
EMDR, right.
Oh, I can look it up online too, or if you want to, if you have a number, I can write.
No, I want to give you the number. What form of communication do you want? I'm a transsexual analyst.
The phone number is fine.
Okay, then here's the phone number. 512 area code. 451-5200.
Okay.
And you tell them, I live here and I want the name and number of men that are EMDR therapists near my house.
Okay.
Okay. And call me back as a way of making a connection. And read the book, Getting Past Your Past, to see what Dr. Shapiro meant when she created EMDR. Okay?
All right, I will definitely do that. I was just wondering about the question I had as far as...
Which is?
If there's anything I can do... to talk to my boyfriend about, I don't know, he doesn't, I guess there's really nothing I can do to talk to him about how he, when we argue.
Have you been listening? Do you know what a high bi letter is?
Yes.
Okay. Would you be willing to do a high bi, and I'll give you the structure if you don't have it. Do you know how to structure a high bi letter?
Yeah, I have written them.
Okay. And remember that in that letter that you'll read to him, because that's more intimate than just giving him the letter.
Okay.
Is everything you do like about him, the pain of his withholding, what you don't want, what you do want in a relationship with a boyfriend.
Okay.
And thank you for reading and listening to my letter and maybe talking about it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, I'll try that.
Good. Look, you're following your instinct. I'm here and I'm wanting to help you.
Okay, well, I'll let you know how it goes. We have such a long history that it's hard sometimes to talk to him about stuff. And we do talk about stuff, but then we end up fighting. So maybe a letter will help.
You could call this phone number and I'll listen to it and tell you,
okay,
you know what to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, sounds good.
Good. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, caller. Bye-bye. Okay, call us back.
Bye.
Will do. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That number to call is 323-203-0815. That's how you take the dive into the hot seat and get your question answered by the wonderful Dr. Pat Allen. Hey, everyone. Remember, www.oneistore is where you're going to go to find Dr. Pat Allen's new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, plus a whole bunch of our other amazing materials, including Diddy Over 50 DVD set, conversational rape, and a sundry of other items. Hello, caller. Oh, no, the dreaded voicemail. We don't want the voicemail. We want to talk to you live. We want to hear your question and get it answered. So call in 323-203-0815. And while you're thinking about it, reach out to www.drpatallen.com and sign up for our newsletter. There you can also hear Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication for free right now on the website. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. How are you doing, ladies?
Hi.
Wonderful.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm feeling kind of bad. I feel like I'm kind of two-timing in a way, but then I'm not sure. I wanted your opinion on it. So I've been seeing a man for a long time.
And how long is long?
4 years.
4 years. Are you mated or do you want to get married?
We're probably mated more so. He's not into the marriage thing, and then I kind of agreed to that.
Then you're mated. Do you know what mating is?
What is
your
that?
Boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes.
Are you monogamous?
Yes.
Do you see each other continually?
Yes.
And do you want more than boyfriend, girlfriend?
I do, yes. And that's where we kind of maybe don't agree all the way. And there was one night
Do you make love?
Yes.
Okay, so you're bonded to him.
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes, a long time ago, actually.
Well, read it again because you may be more able to hear it.
Yes, I need to do that, actually.
Okay,
yes.
So you are physically mated to him. Science has found that when... How old are you?
52.
62? 6'2".
No, 5'2".
5'2". Okay, you're 5'2". And you've never been married?
Yes, I have.
You have been. You have any kids?
Yes, grown kids.
Okay, so you've been... What happened to that one?
We were married very young, and we just grew apart, and he was cheating on me, and he left me for another woman, so.
Got it. So you have a tendency. Did your father, was he a player?
I didn't know him too much, but I don't think so.
Okay, so you didn't have a father?
No.
Was your mother okay with this?
She was single. She never remarried. And so I lived with her and my grandma and grandfather.
Okay, but you do want to get married again?
I did, and so we kind of agreed that, you know, mating would be okay if that's what it was going to be. But this gentleman never commits all the way. I think he's very vague on a lot of things, on future.
Is he monogamous? Does your body tell you he's monogamous?
About 95%.
Okay. He's 51% valuable.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, we had like an argument. So we kind of split up for a couple weeks. And so I was seeing this guy that I knew from high school. And so we just went out twice. And he likes me a lot. But then the gentleman that I've been seeing for a long time, we met up again. And he wants to continue with our relationship. He doesn't know about the guy I went out with, and I didn't tell him.
So, all right.
Now I'm in this predicament where I'm not sure what to do.
For what reason do you need to be legally married? You want a baby?
Do you want money?
At all.
I think security.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no security in getting married because you get divorced.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I know. That's. Do you realize that when men fall in love, is this man in love with you?
I believe he is.
Yeah, you can feel it in his touch.
I can, yes.
Okay, so you're bonded to him. And that means
I am.
Oxytocin. And that's wonderful. Except you want to be legal. Do you have enough money to take care of yourself?
Maybe not.
Do you need to be married rather than want to be?
I don't need to be. I just think the status is nicer when you say this is my husband other than this is my boyfriend.
I got it. You want to be a legitimate. You don't want to be. Are you living with him, by the way?
No,
because
I think
did you ever hear me say, don't live with them unless you're at least engaged?
Yes.
Okay, so you know me. Okay, and that's the truth. Because when you live with him, he gets all the benefits for free, and you really can get pretty crabby, which gets you thrown out. Right?
I'm really afraid of that. Yeah, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid that we would live together one day, and then he would just get tired of it, and then I'd be out.
That's true. But I wanted to tell you that when a man risks falling in love, if he accidentally or on purpose marries somebody that betrays him, has he ever been married before?
Yes.
What happened to their marriage?
I think they split up. They just weren't getting along. And then I believe she passed away. Yes.
What talk? Hello?
Yeah. So she, hello?
Hello. What did she talk about? What you said something about talking.
I think they just split up, and then she passed away.
Oh, she passed away. That's what I didn't hear, that phrase. She died. Now, do you realize that if he loved her, this is the kind of risk men take when they fall in love with somebody that dies or... well, betrays. And do you know what happens to men when they get betrayed and they've fallen in love? they can have this interesting heart attack, the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack, broken heart syndrome. You know that terrible...
I think he is afraid.
Afraid of what?
I think he's afraid of... That's why he's afraid of true committed relationships.
Because he's afraid, he's afraid of dying of betrayal. Do you remember this horrible... shoot all the kids in the school, Texas?
Yes.
And do you remember the one teacher died?
Oh, yes, when his wife was
and
shot.
The husband died the next day.
Yeah, that was really sad.
Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. That sounds to me like he had a broken heart syndrome. Men's soul, the anima, makes them extremely sensitive. So if they can get women to cook, clean, sex, whatever, without vulnerability, it isn't as scary. Does this man's mother still be alive?
Yes.
Okay. So he's not afraid of her dying?
No, not yet, no.
But he's afraid of marriage because he knows somehow that he's risking his life.
Yes, and then the relationship he had after his wife, she supposedly betrayed him and went with someone else. I guess that was the story. So
he got bonded, I guess. That's what I'm saying. This man may be scared to death of being betrayed again, but he loves you. Do you want to send him a hi-bye letter that says, I don't need to be married, but I do need to be engaged? Are you willing to compromise with him?
Yes. How would I put that in words?
Do you know my work enough to know what the hi-bye letter is?
Yes, somewhat. I know the first paragraph is give him praise and good things.
Yes. What's the second one?
The second one is why I'm not happy.
Yeah, why you're not happy. And that's because he doesn't want to be more vulnerable to you. And the third paragraph is, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. Right?
Right.
And I have no problem with you living with him, engaged, but not a live-in girlfriend.
Right. That's what I told him. I don't want to be a live-in girlfriend.
You already told him all this?
No, well, I told him that once. I said, I don't want to just be a girlfriend. I mean, it has to be
That's right.
More of a commitment.
Okay, so what I'm giving you, and it seems like today's the day for doing it because you're the second one I'm doing it for, is for you to give him to acquiesce to his terror. Do you know what the word acquiesce means?
Not really.
Acquiesce is not surrendering. It's doing what you're doing for the sake of the team. Do you have a watch that you can call and ask for the definition for acquiesce?
Yes.
I would appreciate it if you would serve the people that are listening by reading the definition of the word acquiesce.
Oh, I don't have that with me right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. What it means is that you're doing something you wouldn't do if it didn't have a big price tag. You do not like being a liver lover girlfriend. You want to have the honor of being at least engaged, right?
Yes.
So the hi bye letter then follows with, I don't want to be alone. Then it's, I want to at least live with you in the honor of an engagement. I'll give up legal committability for the sake of our love. You've been in and out of this relationship 4 times, right?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty good. So how do you feel?
And we always end up.
What?
And we always end up back together, you know.
Because you're really, you're compatible as mates. You've got the chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Women mate.
Is it weird that?
What?
I would like better manners, or is that being a male? Is that being a man?
I'm not understanding this question. What is it?
Is it wrong for me to want him to have better respect and manners?
It's bad of you to want him to do anything unless it's a deal breaker. Because if you just nag at him, you're just burning down the relationship. Just leave him and get somebody else.
Okay. Yeah.
Women's big word is no. We get what we want by knowing what we don't want. Men get what they want unless they're terrified that they'll die or whatever. So when you say what you want from him, you're the man.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
want to do that. And that's why I wrote the book, Getting to I Do. The soul of a man is the anima. The soul of a woman is animus, masculine. And there's a great book by Sanford, and it's about intimate couples.
Okay.
So you're already married on the animal level. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe so.
But you want the legal level, and you have a right to want that, and you've left him 4 times. One of these times, hopefully it won't break his heart, but one of these times, one of you will terminate for good. Do you want to do that now?
thought I did, but then he came back and we reconciled.
Yes.
And yes, so I don't think I don't want to do that, no.
So and I told him
that
what?
Well, I told him that I need more from him. Of course, the commitment already, I told him this, and I need more time that I think needs to be spent with friends and family. And he said he would work on that. But other than that, that's the only dilemma I have. He likes to be alone.
He likes to be alone
with me.
How often do you see him?
3 to 4 times a week.
You have a continuous relationship.
Yes.
Okay. Are you willing to do what I'm saying? How old is he?
60.
He's directly in the middle of his menopause, which is called andropause. He's going down in estrogen, down in testosterone, and he's living on estrogen. He's more of a woman than you are. Are you seeing this picture?
He is sensitive. I notice he tries to hold it, but I could see he's sensitive. Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to acquiesce, which is doing something you don't really want to do, but you don't want to pay the price for the sake of the team?
Yes.
It's not surrender. It's not capitulate. It's not a power game. I have given you information which you have taken in based on the fact you've been living by it without knowing why.
Mm-hmm.
So either acquiesce or get away from him for up to 2 years. It'll take you a long time to get over him. We are built more fickle than they are.
Yes. My body just doesn't feel good with another man.
I know that, but it will if you stay away from your husband for up to 2 years. Right now, are you willing to acquiesce to an engagement, or are you willing to move away and literally find a husband? But don't be having intercourse unless you're at least committed.
Yes. If I would do that, go the other way, I would definitely do it different. Mm-hmm.
All right. So how do you feel about acquiescing or leaving?
I think I want to keep trying to make it work as mates.
Then will you please write the letter and read it to him?
Okay. Should I read it to him or just text it, or should we talk in person about it?
What are you comfortable with?
He really likes to talk in person, but what I notice when we talk in person, if he doesn't want to listen to something, he kind of tries to tune it out.
Then why not read him the letter? Read it to him. So he has both.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
caller.
And
go back and read Getting to I Do.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, everyone. 323-203-0815 is the number to call to get into the hot seat and ask your question live on the air with Dr. Allen. Okay.
Hi.
Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I guess to say I'm a 36-year-old gay guy, and I've actually never had a relationship. And I guess I don't know how to take that, you know, like the bad part of me thinks it's something about me. So I guess I'm just curious about your advice or thoughts.
Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
I've started it, but I have not finished it, no.
Okay. Do you want to be respected by a woman first or cherished first?
Well, be a man,
both.
But yeah, and I guess that's it. I'm deciding. I guess off the top of my head, I would think cherished.
You want to be cherished? Was your mother and dad, was your mother a man or a woman?
I'd probably definitely have to say a man.
Who was the head of the house? What?
Probably my mom was more masculine in that sense.
Okay. And your father had to be, did they stay together?
Yeah, they're still together.
They're still together. But they work because he's her wife and she's his husband.
Yes, I would. I guess that's how that would work.
Now, have you ever been married?
No. No, okay. So that's what I'm saying. I haven't even had an official relationship, like ever.
You have what?
I've never actually had a relationship at all.
Are you a virgin?
No.
You've had sex?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you got a woman in mind?
Well, it would be a man, because I'm gay.
Are you gay or straight?
Yeah, I'm gay.
What are you?
Gay.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, gay. I mean, okay. Are you wanting respect or cherishing by the men that you love?
I guess if I had to choose, I would prefer cherish.
Okay. Then you need to be with the man who wants you enough. And whether they marry you or not is up to the state you're in. So do you know how to look for a man? Do you flirt well?
No, I don't think I do.
Well, don't you go somewhere?
Yeah. So I've done, you know, bars and stuff, but I don't enjoy them.
Because?
I don't know. I don't enjoy getting drunk. It doesn't do anything for me. So
I think there's a magazine that advertises dating for gay people.
Okay.
Do you know what the name is?
No, I don't believe so.
Would you please look it up?
Okay.
You know, have somebody. Do you have any gay friends?
Yes.
All right. You need to flirt because you are wanting to be the feminine part of the relationship, and that means you've got to signal that you're available by looking them in the eyes and smiling.
Okay.
But you are waiting for somebody to be man enough to come and claim you.
Right. Agreed.
But you're not signaling.
Possibly, no.
Do you know the reason you're not signaling?
No.
Because it's
not subconsciously. I'm sorry?
Because it's not manly.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to be the feminine energy, passive, patient, and vulnerable to somebody else's plans?
I don't know, because in that sense, I would say I'd be the opposite, because I tend to be somebody who likes to be in control and to make decisions. So I guess that's part
that
of my problem
wonderful.
Deciding.
But are you not practicing your feelings? You talk like a man, but you don't act like one.
Okay.
Is that true? You want to be a man, except you don't want to do what men do.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I'm, struggling, right? Because, I would be, I do tend to be more opting for control and stuff, but
you
I felt like in a relationship,
it.
Right. Yeah, it
I
feels like anytime
I do this podcast every week. Would you be willing to either act like a man and chase somebody, flirt with them, which you don't like, or would you really be nice enough to find out the name of that magazine to put an ad, because I hear that you're a virtuous man. Am I right?
I like to think so.
You sound like you have levels of integrity sensually.
Well, thank you. Anyway, I take that as a good thing.
Okay. What culture are you from?
American, Latin.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you may be naturally, you understand. Do you know that all babies are female for a week?
Yes. I think I've heard something like that. Makes sense.
Good. Do you realize that it's normal for some people to be male and some people to be female, or even combination of the two? But you've been thinking like a man, but not acting like one. But I'm telling you that you would do better if you found a good way to advertise your availability. I just don't know the name of the magazine right now. It's not in my head.
No,
actually, there's two sites he can go to. One is called Zeus.
There, I want both of them.
And the other one is called Gay's Tryst. They're both apps for dating. And they're both focused on men, meaning men.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes. Yeah, I've been on dating sites, Match, and some of the other ones as well before.
What happens? Why don't you end up with a man?
I guess
why do you
seem
come apart.
What do you mean come apart?
you don't stay together. You don't get married. You don't get mated.
I don't know. Well, I guess it's, and I don't know, it's gay culture, because I've had friends mention this too. A lot of times when you're on these sites, you know, there's a lot of talking and chatting, but when it actually comes to the meeting part, it just never happens. It always fizzles out before then. And I guess that's always just happened to me as well.
What you haven't done is told him, I want to date you. And if we work out, I want to engage you. And if we work out, I want to marry.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't think of that in the first 2 days of talking. So
you have to. That's when you're flirting. Flirting is signaling your choices to the person you're flirting with that you're interested. In your case, you are flirting to get them to take you out.
Gotcha. Correct.
But don't have sex with them without being engaged. Will you please remember this?
Yes.
Because that bonds you physically. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is it's gay men have a tendency to be like player men straight in that they want free sex, free dates.
Agreed. Right.
And I want you to not make love until you're at least a boyfriend with a girlfriend boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Okay.
Everybody.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Look, everybody's masculine. Men have masculine bodies, but they have feminine souls. Women have female bodies, but masculine souls. Everybody's male and everybody's female, but I teach them how to relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Gotcha. Yes. Thank you.
Are you willing to call back and report what you've done based on this phone call?
Yes, I can.
And are you willing to go find, did you write down the messages that Kelly gave you on
dating
sites?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're going to call me, then use me.
Yes, agree.
Okay?
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, caller, don't forget to put your... put in your profile what you're looking for. Long-term relationship. Okay. We have another call coming in, Dr. Allen. And another question. Sam at the switchboard is amazing, and he's getting them for us a left and a right. Huh? Let's see. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
So I'm in an uncomfortable situation. My new roommate.
Wait a minute. Repeat what you said.
I'm in an uncomfortable situation. I'm in an uncomfortable situation. Can you hear me?
You're uncomfortable to date?
Yes, I'm uncomfortable. Because my new roommate used to date one of the guy I'm dating.
Is the roommate a girl or a guy?
It's a girl.
Well, you've got a roommate that rents and pays for the rent, and you're afraid to date anybody in your place.
No. She used to date the guy I'm dating.
He what?
She used to date the guy I'm dating.
So what's that got to do with dating?
Well, because I'm just uncomfortable that they used to date, and he reached out to her last week about something about him, like how he broke up with her, but he reached out to her, and I just got really like uncomfortable and angry about that.
How did you find out? Did she tell you things about him?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, does she still want him?
She said she doesn't, but when she saw him the other day, they were like talked for a little bit and were friendly, and he says that he doesn't want her.
When you date men, why not tell them you have a limiting girlfriend for a tenant and you want to meet him in a restaurant or a church or something else?
Uh-huh. A limiting...
Don't talk to your girlfriend about your boyfriends, and don't expose them to her.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Well, she's my roommate now, and
what's that got to do with gossip?
Okay, so don't. So she shouldn't be telling me things that he told her.
Honey, it's called, I don't want to hear this. Better yet, right. Use my tools. I really appreciate you telling me things about him and you and whatever, but I really don't want to talk about it. Are you willing not to talk about it?
Okay. But do you think that it's, like, I don't know why he reached out to her. Like, I feel like... Like, he's obviously still interested if he reached out to her.
What I'm hearing is he dated human beings before he met you. What's that got to do with you?
I get really jealous and, like, angry.
You're jealous?
Yeah.
Now you got to read a book. It's called Dangerous Passions. Do you know that you're not in love if you're not jealous?
I was kind of mean to him, and I just said that I was really uncomfortable, and I don't know. I just said I was really uncomfortable, and I gave him like I kind of the silent treatment today.
Darling, I hear your confession. But it's not pertinent. The point is, you're having a relationship with your roommate. Are you in love with your roommate?
No.
Is she in love with you?
No.
Then how about she's not part of your private life?
Okay.
And you date men, but don't meet them in your apartment unless she's gone.
Okay.
You've got to signal men that you're available.
Right.
Oh, the book is by a man named David Buss, a therapist in San Diego, I believe. Not San Diego, Phoenix, I think. Anyway, he's got a book, Dangerous Passions. People think jealousy is bad. Mm-hmm. Jealousy signals territoriality.
Mm-hmm.
So you're jealous of his territoriality out there, not, you know, other people.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like really uncomfortable and upset about it. And I feel like I hate him.
Well, you may have ruined this relationship, but would you be willing to start a new one?
Yeah. Do you think it's my fault? I just feel like I hate him. I feel it. And he lied about a few things.
Well, tell me, for what reason did you get mad at him?
Because he lied about, like, reaching out to her, and then he lied about...
Wait a minute. What did he lie about when he should have told you? I appreciate you asking questions, but I don't want to answer them.
Oh.
Do you understand that you were acting like a girlfriend or a wife before you were anything?
Yeah. And that's what he said to me.
I know. That's because he was telling you the truth.
Yeah. I feel like I hate him.
Has he asked you out? Has he asked you out since then?
Yeah. This morning he kept saying that he wanted to take me out, but I was really upset.
That's right. So why don't you tell him you talked to a therapist and I taught you about Dangerous Passions by David Buss, that you were jealous of him because you have feelings for him.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
Because he sounds like... What?
Go ahead. Do you think he's going to... I haven't heard from him today. I think he's mad because
he's got 8 weeks. 8 weeks to come after you again. When was the last time he came after you?
This morning.
Well, I think maybe. Will you be seeing him anywhere?
Yeah, I have to see him tomorrow.
Will you see tomorrow and say, I want to make an apology for being jealous of you with my roommate? I talked to a therapist. Don't tell him my name because I'm doing this. He can call me on the phone, but
okay.
I'm retired in my office.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Do you think he'll want to talk to me after like me being so crazy?
What did he do? You were acting like a wife. And he lied to you because he didn't have the guts to tell you he didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that? You were acting like a wife.
Yeah.
You were both screwed up for the time being. I'm just saying, if you have any chemistry for this man, tell him that you are feeling jealous of his relationships. And you don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Would you date him then?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know if he's going to, like, hate me now. Because I gave him the cold shoulder.
You were given what?
I gave him the cold shoulder. And I just... ignored him.
Well, no, you're going to give him the warm shoulder now.
Okay. It's really hard for me. I don't know why.
Because you have feelings for him. You have chemistry. You're mad at him for reasons that are none of your business.
Okay.
He dated your roommate.
Okay.
How did that become your business?
Right, because she started telling me stuff about it.
Well, what law said he shouldn't do that?
Yeah.
He didn't know you were falling in love with him.
Yeah. I'm just so mad at him.
You're mad at him because...
because he lied to me about reaching out to her.
He lied to you about what?
Reaching out to her.
What's wrong with that? It was none of your business that he was reaching out to her.
I just felt like he was trying to date her again or something.
What's wrong with that?
I just hate that.
You were jealous. You need to read the book.
Okay.
People are not in love unless they're territorial.
Okay.
So you called me up. You're telling me what your story is. I'm telling you that you're chemically attracted to him. It was none of your business for him to tell you or for you to ask him who he's dating.
Yeah, he did tell me it was none of my business.
Well, either that or don't do it again.
Okay.
Which would you prefer?
Just not do it again. Do I really have to apologize, though?
What it, do you want what?
Do I really have to apologize, though, to him?
You do not have to apologize. Just treat him better.
Okay. And don't reach out to him. Wait for him to reach out to me.
And don't do what?
Don't reach out to him. Wait for him to reach out to me.
No, because if he's dating your roommate, he's dating your roommate.
Yeah, I don't think he is. He told me he's not interested in her.
Where do you see him, that your little threesome? Where are you going to see him tomorrow?
In our classes. Our class.
Oh, you're in a class.
Yeah.
Are you going to be friendly or not?
It's really hard for me. I was really angry today, and I didn't even want to look at him.
Okay, do you want to be angry, or do you want to ignore him, or what do you want to do with him?
I think I'm just angry right now.
I understand that, but what's your goal?
I still like him, but
Then would you, if you like him, that's the reason you might want to say, I've been rude to you because I was jealous of you dating my roommate.
Okay, but I have to wait for him to message me.
No, you're going to be in class together.
Okay.
And you can just tell him.
Okay.
And don't gossip with your roommate.
Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Good luck, good luck, good luck. Report back.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we have a very special guest that I am going to bring on now. You've heard him before. He is the amazing Dr. Robert Storr. We're going to chit-chat with him for a few minutes. And there he is. Robert, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. How are you?
I'm great, Kelly, and good evening. It's great to be here as always. How are you all doing?
I love Wonderful. It that you're here.
Thank you. How are you doing, Patricia? Good to hear you, Dr. Allen. Everything good?
Yes, everything's good. And I want you... I love having you on here to tell people what you specialize in. You're a therapist, right?
Well, yes, a therapist that learns from the best. So I believe I wandered into your office and learned some of the secrets that have helped me and countless others in communication, relationship work, and have been really excelling just amazed at the work we've been able to do. So we are old friends, colleagues, and I made a unique turn about 12 years ago into the field of suicide prevention. And the former director of the Suicide Prevention Center here in Los Angeles, California, and also worked with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I'm on the board of directors for the Los Angeles chapter and also one of their trainers. And I'm working on a couple of conferences coming up with Suicide Prevention Month in September. Keeping busy.
And the new emergency number is?
988. Rallying the government to make it easy, not only for people to get hold of a crisis line across the United States here, but now to begin to change the frame around crisis response from using so much law enforcement, and they've been wonderful in many respects. We're learning to use mental health professionals, mental health evaluation, psychiatric evaluation teams, and to bring people to.
How did you get from being a marriage family therapist to a suicide therapist?
Well, thank you for the question. So the course of my life changed in the year 2011, which is almost 12 years ago. And my best friend, my significant partner, 15 years, abruptly took his own life shortly after, and had, when I did what we would call a psychological autopsy, which is to go back and review what happened. And I had been a psychotherapist for at least 20 years. What I recognized was how little we knew about suicide prevention and how much we could learn to help people that are suffering from mental health. So 2 years after I climbed out of the depression that created, got myself off the couch and out of the basement of the hospital where I was working at the time, I made it my mission to learn everything I could about suicide prevention and worked with attempt survivors, suicide loss survivors, and then eventually became the director of the Suicide Prevention Center here, training SWAT, FBI, crisis response teams, teachers, parents, kids, anybody I could get my hands on what we know is now a very treatable condition. So it's one of the missions I do. Now, of course, I work in the veteran community today. Unfortunately, they make up about 15% of the suicides annually because of their exposure to trauma and other conditions. So that's how I got on this path. And
all right. I knew that because I've known you quite a while, but experiencing somebody you love suicide, what have you learned in your healing process?
Well, thank you for the question. I think it's important, and I appreciate the opportunity to let people know that prior to the suicide of Troy, my partner, what I didn't know was that at almost 50% of us were going to lose somebody to suicide. We were going to know somebody. And about 40% of us, it would be a family member or friend. So one, I didn't know that there were so many people out there like myself who were going to go through this terrific tragedy. Two, I didn't know that when you lose somebody like that, that kind of grief connected to trauma, a traumatic death, is a much different grief than just grief of somebody dying from a known cause or somebody dying of old age. What it is trauma and grief becomes a separate condition called prolonged grief, which can have complications leading to anxiety, depression, your own suicide in some cases. So it's important that people know that one, change recovery is possible. Two, it is necessary a lot of times to get help either from a therapist, trained therapist who's working in the grief area, or a psychiatrist in some cases to get medication. But you definitely want to get some help because prolonged grieving syndrome, which was established just recently by a study out of Columbia University, is a legitimate issue for a lot of people that are out there that may be listening, over half of your radio audience. So, and then the other half is the people who are suffering from the mental health condition that may have thoughts of suicide or desire. It's important they know that they're not bad, they're not weak. It's not a question of willpower, that it's a mental health condition. And you wouldn't tell somebody with diabetes or heart disease just because they have a genetic predisposition or a medical condition that they're bad. But that stigma that surrounds the mental health conditions associated with suicide keeps people from treatment. And it also keeps therapists from treating people that need help. So those are the areas that I'm working in. People need to reach out for help. It's there. They can call that number 988 for a friend. They can call it for themselves. They can call it if they're concerned. They can call it for resources. The lines are picking up quite a bit with the access now, which is great. But help is available and prevention is out there now. Thank goodness. We're still catching up, but we have to help people know it's okay to talk about it.
So what are the signs looking back on your horrible experience, did you have any signs in retrospect that came to fruition, sadly?
Yeah, no, I think that was the reason I think I changed the charter of my course. I think what we don't recognize is that people who are suffering often try to communicate with us. But if we don't understand the language, we don't want to hear about it. We don't listen for it, or we don't respond to it. So if someone tells you one of the most significant signs, we look at their talk, we look at their behavior, we look at their feelings, the way they're responding to things. And if someone shares that they're in distress, or they're giving up, or they don't feel hope, or they don't feel like they belong, or they've thought about killing themselves, or they've thought about it, because my partner who died by suicide shortly before he left said, "I don't understand, as I've been thinking about suicide." Well, it didn't register to me that he wasn't thinking about it. He was thinking of doing it. And what that meant was he was trying to tell me he needed help, but because of the shame and the stigma. So one of the most significant signs and known one is listen to somebody talking to you. Number two, watch their behavior. Oftentimes somebody can be doing okay, but if they reach a crisis and they have a mental health condition and they start, you know, reacting funny, they start becoming more of a recluse or more angry or more agitated, oftentimes that's what we call a warning sign that they should ask them, you know, something going on or something I can help you with. Are you getting in trouble? You feel like you're in crisis. You don't have to say, are you thinking of killing yourself right away? But you want to be okay to say that. You want to be able to tell people in advance, you know, if you ever thought about suicide, if you ever thought about dying by suicide, I listened to someone on the radio today. I want you to know you can talk to me. I think if you set that up in advance. And the last one is just watching someone's behavior. If they don't seem like themselves, you know, recognizing that you may be the only person listening tonight that understands that this might be an opportunity. And not being afraid to ask the question, you know, not being afraid to be embarrassed or to embarrass somebody, but to let them know you care about them, that you care about them enough to know that if they ever got in trouble, if they ever felt like they were in crisis, you know, you're there for them. They can talk to you about them and you would figure out how to get them help. I think those are the signs, the behavior, the conversation, and the feelings that someone shares with you.
That's great. Can people reach you? Are you in business to help people other than in your where you're the director?
Yeah, so currently I'm the executive director of a nonprofit that works with veterans at U.S. Vets. But the best way to reach help or me, you can go to my email, which is my first name. My letter first initial of my first name, which is R, and my last name Store, so it's RSTOHR, so it's RSTOHR, and 2015@gmail.com. That's RStore2015@gmail.com. You can also call me at area code 562-810-1040-56-1040. You can also look, if you are in different areas and want to find help, look at AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention .org. There's a group here in LA that's for free for help. There's also Dee Dee Hirsch here in Los Angeles that does a free group. Make sure to leave a message. Let me know that you heard me or listened to the other Dr. Pat Allen. I'd be happy to help you out any way I can. How's that?
Good. That's very good.
Great. And there's two conferences coming up for free as well. I'm at USC Verdugo Hills Hospital here in Los Angeles. We'll be serving a free breakfast and lunch. I can get you some information about that, a virtual conference. It's the Los Angeles Suicide Prevention Task Force coming on September 14th, 15th, and 16th. And the USC Verdugo Hills one is on September 10th. You can look it up at USC Verdugo Hills. These are all free events. I'd be happy to have you. We'll learn more about how we can support you.
Well, that's Wonderful. Are you willing to come back next month?
Kelly, I appreciate that, putting the word out. You're doing your part in a public health approach to make sure we start to prevent over 47,000 deaths by suicide in this country a year by getting the word out that we just need to talk about it. We need to let people know they're safe to talk about it, and we need to let them know there's help available. So if you're concerned about somebody or yourself, please pick up the phone and dial 988. Call your suicide prevention crisis line. Let them know. They'll connect you to resources in your area. They're geolocated to 160 sites throughout the country. And if I can be of assistance, again, my number is 562-810. Great Dr. Pat Allen and Kelly there with great wisdom, which I have learned has helped millions of people.
I want to thank you for being in my life and doing my work with your work to help human beings. I really appreciate that.
Your information works across sexual orientation with heterosexual, with homosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual couples. The information, the truth as you have taught me is the truth, and the communication information that you offer out there for people struggling is gold in the bank. So folks that are listening tonight, you have found the right spot. And I often tell people, if you stop to pay attention, you will know you are in the right spot listening to the right person right now. Please do the last thing and take action on what you're hearing, either in your love life or your career, or to help somebody around you. So God bless you, Dr. Ben Allen and Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
God bless you, Robert. Thank you for being here. Always a pleasure. Always. Everyone, Dr. Robert Storr, remember that number, 988. If you've got somebody in crisis or you're worried, you can reach out and talk. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go tonight?
What I'm going to say is how I live. The only way I know I love myself or anybody else is by the commitments I'm willing to make and keep. And they've got me where, yep.
Everybody, we will be back next week. Until then, have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Hug your loved ones. Time is short. Be safe. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.